4. We're going to finish up chapter 4 today, and we're going to get into the first verse of chapter 5. It's bad when you have so many notes that they slide off the podium. So the title of the message, I don't know if you looked in your bulletin, is Listen Up. And I will explain why I use that title in a minute. But I want you to think about something. I want to get your mind geared to what we're going to be talking about today. Have you ever signed up for something only to realize that it's not what you really wanted? You know how you have those people come to your house and try to sell you magazines? If you sign up now, they get to go on a cruise, and they make you feel bad for not letting them go on their cruise. Or on TV, you see a commercial, sign up for this magazine, and you'll get a free blanket with your favorite sports team on it. And you're signing up for monthly bills that they're going to be sending to your house, but all you hear is blah, 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 free Broncos blanket. Right? Anybody ever been suckered into that? I have a Detroit Tigers bobblehead doll. Well, it's not a doll. It's a figure. Bobblehead figure. It's not a doll. In my office. I'm sure you've probably seen it if you've been in there. I've been harassed for having Tigers gear in my office. But I got that bobblehead action figure for free. The day that I got it, I also got about 26 other free things. See, what happened is, I was 18, fresh out of high school. I went with my friends all the way to the big bad city of Detroit, went to Comerica Park, and I watched a Tigers game. But I'm poor 18-year-old kid, no Detroit Tigers gear, none of that stuff. But you get in the stadium, and it's just like all these booths are set up like, oh, free merchandise. And I'm like, nice, you know, I can get some free stuff. And if you go to these booths, they will give you free stuff. All you have to do is give them your social security number and sign up for their credit card. So basically, they run your credit, give you a credit card. But out of the deal, you get a free bobblehead or triple extra large t-shirt, you know, the one size fits very few shirt that's for free, or a foam finger. So I was all pumped up. My parents weren't there to say, don't do that. And I went to every booth possible. So I got a bunch of free stuff, but a week later, I got 26 credit cards in the mail and a credit score of 0. I didn't listen to my better judgment. All I saw, all I heard was blah, 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 free Detroit Tigers gear. It was awesome until it harmed me for the next 7 years with my credit score. But what happened? I refused to listen to better judgment. My parents had taught me better than that. I knew better than that. I knew giving out my classified information was not a good idea, but they got me. But hey, I still have a free bobblehead action figure in my office. What's going on? Why am I telling that ridiculous story? Because I want you to see that the Galatians were buying into something that they weren't fully grasping. They weren't listening to the truth. They were buying into what the Judaizers were telling them. In our study today, Paul is going to challenge the Galatians to listen up. They are buying into something without listening to the details. He is going to give them an Old Testament history lesson as an illustration to the point that he is making. He is going to say, listen up. Do you fully realize what you are really desiring? He's going to say, listen to this lesson. It's a familiar story. It's a story that these Galatians are going to know. But he's going to point them back to that story. He's going to give an illustration to, again, try to guide their mind to the truth. Let's read our text. Galatians chapter 4, verse 21 through chapter 5, verse 1. A lot of verses today, but it ties the whole story together. Tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do ye not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise. Which things are an allegory? For these are the two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai, which gendereth to bondage, which is Agar. For this Agar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, Rejoice, thou barren that bearest not. Break forth and cry, thou that travailest not. For the desolate hath many more children than she which hath an husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit, even so it is now. Nevertheless, what saith the Scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for preserving your word for us. I thank you that we can have confidence in your word. I thank you for the way that it's alive and that it's powerful and that it speaks to us and that it's relevant to us every day in our personal lives. I pray that you'll just give us understanding now of this text. Please help us to understand these verses, to understand this illustration that Paul gives. I pray that we will apply it to our lives, and I pray that through it all you will be glorified and we will give you the glory for the freedom that we can find in you. Thank you for all that you are. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So let's think back to last week. Let's remember what happened last week. We saw Paul's uncommon care. We saw the Galatian believers basically hating on Paul, viewing him as an enemy because he was trying to reveal the truth to him. Yet we see Paul responding to that with uncommon care. Whereas he's like, you might not be treating me right. You might be treating me as an enemy. But I am going to love you. I am going to continue giving you the truth, to continue showing you that salvation is by grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone. It's not works plus faith. It's not the law plus Christ. It's Jesus Christ plus nothing is the only way for salvation. And that's what he's going to continue to point out to these people. We left him being at his wit's end. He was perplexed that he had so clearly painted a picture to these Galatians, whereas salvation is by grace through faith, yet they still want to buy into the law. They want to jump into the law. They want to buy in with what the Judaizers are saying. They've left him at his wit's end. I just don't know what to do with you people. I don't know how else to try to convince you that salvation is through Jesus Christ. I don't know what to do. I'm at my wit's end. But he doesn't give up. He continues trying to show them the truth. And that's what we find this week, is that he's not going to give up on them. He's going to give them this Old Testament illustration, and he is still trying to show them their error. And let's start in verse 21. He says, Tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do ye not hear the law? So, you want to be under the law. That's basically what he's telling these people. Are you listening? Do you hear what you're jumping into with trusting in the law? Don't you realize what the law really does? Don't you see that the law points you to your need for a savior, but it can't save you? Don't you see that the law leaves you stuck in bondage? Don't you hear what the law does? Listen up, is what he's telling them. Look back to Galatians chapter 3, verse number 10 and 11. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all the things which are written in the book of the law to do them, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident, for the just shall live by faith. The law leaves you under a curse. The law leaves you in bondage. Galatians 2:16 says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. And you can see Paul saying, listen up, listen to what I'm saying. You want to trust in the law? Guess what? The law cannot save you. Good works will not leave you justified. They will leave you in bondage, stuck dead in your trespasses and in your sins. He's telling them, don't you hear it? Don't you get it? Don't you see what the law is trying to do? Why are you jumping in with your faith in your works? Why are you doing that? Please listen to me, is what he's saying. And he says, if you still haven't figured it out, listen to this illustration. And then he goes into this illustration over the next few verses. Verse number 22, for it is written, Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid, the other by a free woman. What story is he taking them back to? He's talking specifically about Ishmael and Isaac, Abraham's two sons. He says, one by a bondmaid. We know the story. It's of Hagar and Sarah. But Hagar was an Egyptian slave of Sarah. And just as a side note, her name means flight, just if you want to keep that in your memory. So one by a bondmaid, one son by a bondmaid, which was Ishmael. That was from Hagar. The other by a free woman, which was Sarah, Abraham's wife. And let's just review the story. Let's reflect on the story. If you want to read it in its entirety, you can look to Genesis chapter 12 all the way through chapter 22, and you can read this story. But we know the general idea, I think, anyways. God made a promise to Abraham in Genesis 12, where he was going to have a land, a seed, and a blessing. He goes on later to promise Abraham that he's going to have a seed as the dust of the earth. But they couldn't have kids. Him and Sarah could not have children. They continued to get older, still no child. We're talking like 70s and 80s, still no child. God reaffirms the promise. You are going to have a child. You're going to have a seed. It's going to be as the dust of the earth. But they have no children. So what does Sarah do? She takes the promise God had made into her own hands. And what does she do? She gives Abraham her maid, her servant, to have a child through her. And she, Hagar, has a son. His name is Ishmael. Years later, when Abraham was 100 and Sarah was 90, God made good on his promise. And Sarah miraculously gave birth to a son, and his name was Isaac. There was one father, two mothers, and two sons. I think we're familiar with this story. We'll get more into detail as we continue. But let's go to verse number 23. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh. What's that talking about? The bondwoman is Hagar, and Ishmael was born of the bondwoman. Why does Paul say that he was born after the flesh? Because Ishmael was born out of a human plan devised by Sarah. Sarah said, God, your timing isn't coming soon enough. I want a child, so I'm going to take your promise and I'm going to make it happen. So then she gets this plan together. Abraham has a child with Hagar. Ishmael was not the son of promise, but of human means. They took God's promise into their own hands. And that's why it's called that he was born after the flesh. Then he goes on to say, but of the free woman was by promise. The free woman, who's he talking about? He's talking about Sarah. And her son was Isaac. That happened through promise. Isaac was the promised son, miraculously born to Abraham and Sarah when Sarah was 90 years old. I know it was different times, but that's a miracle for a 90-year-old woman to have a son. God came through with his promise in His timing and in His way. But there is still two sons, one of the flesh and one of the promise. Verse 24. So now Paul is going to explain what he's talking about here, or where he's going with talking about Abraham and Sarah and Agar. Verse 24, which things are an allegory? Paul is going to use this true story to illustrate the point he is making to these Galatian believers. He is giving a history lesson and explaining its spiritual truths. He is comparing similarities between the story of Abraham and the spiritual truth that he is teaching. So that's why he's using this story. He said, I've tried everything else with you Galatians. Maybe you'll listen to this story. Maybe you'll listen to this spiritual truth that's found within this story. Verse 24, he starts to explain the illustration. For these are the two covenants. So there's two covenants represented in this story. Agar and Ishmael, keep this in mind because this will help you as we continue to go forward. Agar and Ishmael are representative of the covenant of the law and of works. Sarah and Isaac represent the covenant of promise. They represent grace and they represent faith. As verse 24 goes on, so there's two covenants being represented. The one from Mount Sinai, which gendereth to bondage, which is Agar. So the one from Mount Sinai. The law was given through Moses at Mount Sinai, right? You remember that story? Back to your Old Testament history. Requirements were given to be kept. Requirements that were humanly impossible to be kept. And what the law ended up doing was producing religious slaves, people trying to believe in the law, trying to trust in the law for their salvation. And they misused what it was intended to do. The law was intended to make us aware of our sins, to make us see the need that we do need a Savior. The law was supposed to be a schoolmaster. Galatians 3, 24 and 25, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. So the law was designed to show the people their inability to be perfect, their inability to be right before God. It was just to lead them to Christ, to say, your works aren't enough because you can't do them all. You need Christ to save you. Verse 24 goes on to say, the one from Mount Sinai, which gendereth to bondage. Gendereth means brings forth or gives birth to bondage. So the law brings forth bondage. Doesn't that sound familiar if you think back over the last 6 months of our study? What's Paul been saying? The law brings bondage. Christ brings freedom. And he's just painting this picture again. And then he ends the verse with saying, which is Agar. Trying to live up to the law, trusting in self-righteousness, leaves you spiritually speaking like a child of Agar in spiritual bondage. Verse 25, for this Agar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. So what illustrations are being made by all of that? Agar is Mount Sinai in Arabia. She stands for the covenant from Mount Sinai. She stands for the law. And if you think back to these people and their history, what they were dealing with, who was infiltrating them, this illustration would have made a whole bunch of sense to them because they know this stuff. They're a lot closer to this stuff actually happening. But for us, we have to reflect a little bit and we have to think a little deeper, think a little harder. So Agar stands for the covenant from Mount Sinai, the law. Agar, the mother who bore children into slavery. Sinai is a mountain in Arabia. The Arabians are known as the sons of Hagar. All of that corresponds with Jerusalem. And that's why it says, and answereth to Jerusalem. And answereth to Jerusalem means to file together with or to correspond to. So he's saying all this stuff, Agar, all that corresponds or files together with Jerusalem. The earthly Jerusalem stands for Judaism and represents the Jewish nation. Jerusalem was the center for apostate Judaism. And these locations represent the law, works, and the bondage that they produce. And just a picture that he's building, making this case, helping these people understand what they're buying into and what the law represents. And then it says, and is in bondage with her children. Paul has just illustrated the bondage of the law. Hagar, the slave woman, equals earthly Jerusalem and Judaism, painting the picture. He is now going to show the freedom of the promise. Sarah represents a free woman, represents heavenly Jerusalem, and represents freedom. Verse number 26, the news gets a little better than the whole bondage stuff going on. Verse 26, but Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. As believers in Jesus Christ and his finished work, you are free, he's telling the people. And he's saying, and we can apply it as we are free through Jesus Christ. We are free from the bondage of the law. These people in Christ were free from the bondage of the law. And they were part of the Jerusalem above, the heavenly Jerusalem. And Hebrews chapter 12 talks about that heavenly Jerusalem. Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 18 through all the way through verse 24. We see both pictures here of the two results of the two covenants. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 18. For ye are not come unto the mount that might be touched, and that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet, and the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated, that the word should not be spoken to them any more. For they could not endure that which was commanded. And if so much as a beast touch the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. So you remember the restrictions when Moses was receiving the commandments? Don't go near the mountain, don't touch it. If an animal touches it, you kill the animal. Stay away from it. And he says, for ye are not come unto the mount that might be touched. Then verse 22, he says, but ye are come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. All those who have truly trusted in Christ have the heavenly Jerusalem as their home. And it all is through Jesus Christ. Not the trying to keep the law and the ceremonies. That can't be touched. That can't be done. That's impossible. So Jesus made a way for us to have a right relationship with God and be a part of that heavenly Jerusalem. Verse number 27. For it is written, rejoice thou barren that bearest not. Break forth and cry, thou that travailest not. For the desolate hath many more children than she which hath an husband. What's going on there? What's Paul talking about? He's quoting Isaiah 54:1. And understanding the context of Isaiah 54:1 will help us understand the message Paul is trying to tell these Galatian believers. Originally, in its context, this passage was written to the Jewish exiles in Babylonian captivity. So that's where this is coming from. That's what he's talking to. It was written to cheer them up. It was a promise of deliverance from exile and oppression. So Paul is reminding these people, hey, there was a promise given to these Jews who were stuck in Babylonian captivity. And there was a promise given to them that one day they would be freed. Here he is applying it to his illustration. The law brings awareness of a problem and leaves a person in bondage. In Jesus Christ, there is true freedom from bondage and slavery. So why would he use Isaiah 54:1? It's a picture of being stuck in bondage and slavery, but it gives also the testimony of coming freedom. And Paul uses this verse to tell these Galatians, You don't have to be stuck in captivity anymore. Christ has made the way for you to be free. You can be freed from your bondage. There is deliverance, there is grace, and there is peace. And it's so wonderful to think about salvation by grace through faith, that it does offer peace, that it does offer grace. Whereas the law leaves you stuck in bondage, wondering if you've done enough, hoping you've done enough, never having peace. The law of the promise, or the covenant of the promise, guarantees peace. When you trust in Jesus Christ, you are at peace with God. You have a right standing with God. There is grace and there is peace in the covenant of the promise. Verse number 28. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. He says we are the children of promise. It's not we hope to be. He says we are the children of promise. How can he say that? How can he make that statement? We are the children of promise. Those who have trusted in Christ and not the law are the children of promise. They are the children of promise. It is a present possession. It's not hoping that you can become a child of promise by doing enough good. It's having confidence in the fact that because of my faith in Jesus Christ and his finished work, I am a child of promise. It is done. We are declared righteous. Verse number 29. But as then, he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the Spirit, even so it is now. So Paul is taking them back again to Genesis. In Genesis chapter 21, verse 9, we find Ishmael mocking Isaac. And Sarah doesn't like that very much. And we'll see as we get to verse 30 what happens there. But I want you to see what Paul is comparing this to in verse 29. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the Spirit. He's talking about Ishmael. Remember, he was considered born after the flesh. It was Sarah's concocted plan, not God's plan, is persecuting him that was of the promise. So Ishmael was persecuting Isaac. And now Paul gives it to the Galatians as this same thing is happening to you. These people who are trusting in their flesh, who are having their confidence in their flesh, they are persecuting you. The self-righteous are persecuting the ones who are actually righteous in Jesus Christ. And we have the stories of them, trying to bait the Galatians in. You need more, you need more. And what they're trying to do is draw them into their bondage. Remember, misery loves company? We talked about that. They're trying to suck them into this bondage that they're in. And Paul's saying, hey, they don't really care about you. They don't have your best interest in mind. They are persecuting you. The flesh, the works, is persecuting those who have their faith in Jesus Christ. He says that is what's going on here. Quit trying to jump into their ship. They're just persecuting you. That same thing happens today, where the self-righteous are trying to persecute the ones who have their faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone for salvation. You have people saying, you must do this, this, and this. You have to do this. You have to follow. You have to observe. You have to do this to be right with God. You cannot have a right relationship with God unless you do this, 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 and you are this textbook person. It still happens today. There's people looking for religious robots or beautiful masks over sinful individuals. And there is a push, there is a promotion of outward appearance. And what's missed a lot of times is the inside. We talked about last week or 2 weeks ago how Paul wanted Christ to be formed in them. In verse number 19, he said, my little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. He's talking about genuine Christ-like living, Christ living out of you. Even if you put a pretty mask on an ugly person, they're still ugly underneath the mask. And when we try to mask who we really are with our works, with our righteousness, with things we try to do to earn favor with God, it's like putting a pretty mask on a filthy individual. Christ desires to change us from the inside out. Yes, he desires holiness. Yes, he desires good works. But it should flow forth of a life given to Christ, of Christ living through us. And that's where it's at. That's the way it has to be. Because to try to hide, I mean, you put dirt under the rug, it's still under the rug. And that's what happens a lot with religion, is trying to hide our filthiness that we cannot hide. Only Christ can cleanse us. Only Christ can free us from our sins. And he desires to be formed in us, to be genuine, to be more than just wearing a mask. Verse number 30, "Nevertheless, what saith the scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman." And this is referring back to Genesis 21:10, the verse after, or the section after, where Ishmael is mocking Isaac. Sarah says, "Get him out of here." Hagar and Ishmael were cast out. Abraham gave them food and water, and he kicked them out. And just think of the picture that Paul is painting. Hagar and Ishmael are a representative of the law and of bondage. They have no inheritance with Isaac. Those who try to earn a right standing with God through the law have no inheritance with God. They're still stuck in bondage, still lost in their trespasses and sins. Verse number 31, "So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free." Paul tells them, we are children of the free. Through faith in Jesus Christ, we are declared righteous. We are a part of the family of God. And you think about Paul here talking to these Galatian believers. He's saying, you need nothing more to be part of the family of God. All you need is Jesus Christ, and you have trusted in Christ to save you. Therefore, you are not of the bondwoman, but are of the free. Galatians 3:29, "And if ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." They are children of promise. They have freedom in Christ. The freedom in Christ is the birthright of every believer. They are heirs according to the promise. And when we trust in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we become heirs according to the promise. Then he goes to chapter 5, continuing the thought. "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." Paul says, you are a part of the promise. You are free in Christ. Stand fast. He's talking about take a tenacious stand. You have the freedom, now stand in it. You don't need any more than Jesus Christ to save you from your sins. Stand in that freedom. Have complete confidence in the fact that you are free in Christ. And if we could grasp that, where we are complete in Christ, where Christ saved us from the curse of the law, it would help us immensely. Because when we try to look at our righteousnesses, that's such a weird word, righteousnesses. When we try to trust in our works, in what we have done, it leaves us lacking. It leaves us feeling like, I let God down. I didn't do enough for God to be right with him today. And we just need to have the mindset where Christ completes me. I am free in him, and I'm going to let him live through me, and I'm going to be obedient to him. He loves me. He forgave me. He tells them, don't get tangled up in the yoke of bondage. And it's interesting to think about what a yoke does. It binds two things together. And what are these Galatians doing? They're trying to bind, and the Judaizers are trying to get them to do it. They're trying to bind the law and their good works with Jesus for salvation. What does Paul say? Don't get tangled up in the yoke of bondage, the pairing of bondage. And that's what it is. Trusting in anything but Christ for salvation is bondage. You are complete in Christ. You are free in Christ. So what happens? Paul again makes a compelling argument for salvation by grace through faith. He says, you are the children of promise. You are free. Don't try to mix grace and works. You are complete in Christ. And he tells them, listen up. Don't return to bondage. You say you want to jump into the law, you want to trust in the law. Well, it leads to bondage. Listen up. You're getting more than you're asking for. You're getting bondage. I want us to think about the fact that we are free in Christ. By free, I mean we're free from the bondage of the law. We have freedom from the death sentence that our sins place upon us. Let Christ live through you. Be a light for Christ all day, every day. We don't have the exact pulls of Judaism in our day. At least I don't in my life. I don't have people trying to win me over to Judaism. But we do have the pulls of self-righteousness, where we place on our own self these impossible regulations where we can thereby earn favor. We have the pulls of others, what others think about us, what others expect us to be in Christ. And they can pull us around, and they can leave us stuck in bondage. They can leave us miserable. They can leave us lacking. We have the pull also of that salvation is too easy. All they have to do is trust in Christ and his finished work on the cross, his death, his burial, his resurrection, claim him as my Lord and my Savior, and I'll have a right standing with God. That's too easy. I have to do more than that. We have that pull. That's our human nature, thinking we have to earn grace. And we can't earn grace. When we try to earn it, Paul says we frustrate grace. We don't have the same pulls as the Galatians had as far as Judaism, but we do have pulls for self-righteousness. Jesus paid it all. It's finished. Trust in his grace and let him live through you for real. And I say for real because God desires holiness. God desires right actions. And those truly only come when we're letting Christ live through us, when we're walking in the Spirit. Do you think putting on a facade pleases God? Of false self-righteousness? Do you think that genuinely pleases God? He wants us to let Christ be formed in us, to let Christ live out of us. And then I want you to notice, and I'm done, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. Freedom only comes from Christ. And because of that, we should be glorifying him. He paid a debt that was impossible for us to pay. The only way we are free is because of him. Do we praise him? Do we thank him for that? Do we give God the glory for making us free, for making us alive? True life only comes through Christ. He's so good. He's so worthy of all glory, of all praise. So let's listen up. Paul wanted the Galatians to hear it, and God's word is relevant for us too. Trust in Christ. We're free in Christ. Let him live through you and give him the praise that he deserves. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this passage of Scripture. Thank you for the illustrations, for the ideas that Paul presents to us. I thank you most of all for your grace. Thank you that we don't have to try to earn salvation because we fall short every single time. I thank you for loving us. Thank you for your goodness to us. I pray that you will help us to give you the glory that you deserve, because it's all of you It's all because of you. None of it is because of us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.